Amen. You know, and through the midst of all that is going on right now, I've always been a bit of a fumbler, and now I got to deal with a mask, and I got to deal with all this other stuff. So I tell you, this has been very challenging times for me, and I know it has been for you all too. I just want to say this, today's message, I really struggled with today's message, not from the standpoint of trying to just prepare for it, but mainly along the lines of just everything that's going on right now. Don't get me wrong, I hope like you all, we know that we've already won, the victory is already ours. But man, it's just the balance, right? It's the balance that get us to certain places of highs and lows, and you know, we just need that reminder. So I want to first just let you all know, I thank you all, those Zooming, those that are here, I thank you for your encouragement. I'm going to need it, so thank you for that. Let's look to the Lord before we even start. Father God, we know that you are present, Lord, and we just call upon your name to commune with you in this special way of prayer. We know that you hear us, you know all things, Lord, you're everywhere. But Lord, just what joy you have in knowing that your creatures come to you. But we're made to glorify you. So Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to just come to our Father and just ask, Lord. So we ask right now, Lord, that your word be just lifted up. Lord, that I not get in the way at all, Lord. And if anything does hinder, Lord, that you would stop it. So Lord, we just come to you just asking you for your grace and your mercy and just trusting that you will deliver as you always have. All in Christ's name. Amen. So the last time I had an opportunity to preach, I wasn't wearing a mask. You all weren't wearing masks. It was around January, and I didn't have COVID in my vocabulary quite yet, like I think most of you. I didn't have a lot of things in my vocabulary, like social distancing and you name it. I wasn't even Zooming and all that other stuff that we do now. But I know this. I know that God has been with us even before that time and even now. And I know that we need him. And there are times in our lives that I know we say that and it can be a bit on the cliche side, but then there's the times and things that you go through in life where you just have that experience. You just know, like, hey, all those things that I learned, all those things that mom and dad taught me, you know, with those cute little, nice little stories of Joseph and you name it, they really come to life when you go through these trials of life. And the last time we got together, had a wonderful opportunity to talk to you about Psalm 23. And I'll be honest with you, I actually was just on my heart to continue that conversation. I felt like, okay, given the opportunity, Lord, we're going to continue on this journey with Psalm 23. And that's what we're going to do right now. When we got together last time, we talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And I think one of the biggest things that we talked about was we talked about how Psalm 23 is in the midst of a triage, almost like a trilogy. And then this triage of Psalms, we call them Messianic, Psalms of Christ. You know, the power behind this is that when you read Psalm 23, it is just so meditative, it's so self-reflective. It's a song you just gravitate to. The thing that I joke about in my crazy head is I just wish sometimes I would hear it more than just at funerals. Because I just think I know that there's so much more there. I see a life in that. I don't see just the end. And that's what we want to talk about. We talked about it a little bit last time we got together. Just very quickly to go over some things. We first just talked about how in this triage, this great trilogy that we see our Savior. Sure, David had his own kind of personal connection to the psalm, right? We all have that. We have what they call our personal faith. They, in a theological term, they call it like our subjective faith, right? We have our experiences. We live here in this body. We go through things. We experience things. And God is with us, right? But we know that when we look at those particular psalms, it's like the tell of a coin. It has two sides to it. It's David's life that we see, right? His struggles, right? He talks about that. Remember, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and we know that he shepherded, right? That was his occupation. But I think it was more to it than that. In fact, remember what Christ even said? He said that I am the good shepherd. Remember what Ezekiel said? He talked about a shepherd. So that when we see that picture of the psalm, we have to see Christ. We have to see him. He's there. In fact, what we talked about was, once again, looking at it from the triage standpoint, the first thing that we see is Christ as crucified in Psalm 22, right? Remember, Christ on the cross. But then we can't just leave him on the cross, right? We know that he resurrected. And that's what we see in Psalm 23. We see his resurrection power at work in our lives. But it doesn't stop there. It's even better, or gooder, or however you want to say it, right? What happens is from Psalm 23, it transitions over to his ascension, his coronation, his crowning. His crowning achievement, where the day will come where we won't have to worry about COVID anymore. We won't have to worry about racial reconciliation. We won't have to worry about inequality. The king will be crowned. We won't have to go and vote in November. It'll be over. And he will be crowned victor. And all of this foolishness that we go through in life will have an answer. And we know that there will be crowns there waiting for us to throw at his feet for all that we went through, all these trials. By persevering through Christ, we'll make it through. That's what we see in this psalm. And where we ended it was, I guess, quite an interesting place. And I'll read where we ended. We said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Remember, that particular part in the psalm is the key that unlocks the door, because no matter where you are, whether it's the green pastures, right? And we talk about those green pastures, were, it's this framework. That's what David saw. He saw a church. He actually saw it. No, he didn't have the clarity, but he saw something bigger, right? He saw that sheep need a good diet. Sounds a little bit like me. I need a good diet these days. But remember, it was a good diet, a diet filled with a family, not just any family, a family of believers, a church family. That's what he's talking about in these green pastures. That's literally what David is seeing. He's seeing God's framework at place where people can come together and they can stay in what sheep need to do, right? They need to stay nearby the shepherd. And also, he recognizes that we get tired, we get weary. So remember that part about he restores our soul? That is what we do when we come together. This is resurrection power at work. That is the vision, kind of the preview that David saw that we are now living in the fulfillment of. And then it just gets better. You know, he says he leads me in paths of righteousness. You know, that's when you used to say certain things to the boss that you know you can't say anymore. You approach things differently. Yes, you're still human. You make mistakes, but it's something that convicts you, but it drives you even further to a place of correction. That is the Holy Spirit giving me that path of righteousness. All within what? The family framework. You come to church. You stay in church. You're grounded. You're rooted in this. You want your kids to believe this. This is this structure, this framework. God is doing it, and he's doing it. But within those comforts is life, the issues of life. And that's what we're going to talk about right now, because this is the part that does continue to sting within the fact of the shadows of death. And that's when it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You know, I'm good with the table, but the enemy part, I got some challenges with it. It's a very interesting part in this psalm that happens. I thought he was a shepherd, and now he's preparing a table. I know for me, I often wonder what's going on with this song, but maybe it was just me wondering that. Because one minute he's holding a croak of a staff, and the next minute he's like a busboy. But hey, we're gonna unpack that a little bit. What's basically happening is a transition. The first direction of the song is this. He's guiding you to a certain place, and that's to his salvation. But now once you're in his salvation, something now has changed. You've been welcomed back into the house. It's a welcoming place that you are now with God. Now, maybe some of you may take that lightly, but we shouldn't, especially in these times that we live in right now, because so many times what can happen in the midst of all that we're seeing right now, we can get our thinking misviewed. We can start just kind of rallying behind things, but not knowing the real reason why we should. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to talk to you about just 3 points and try to be quick. One is about a reunion with God. The second point is about a relationship with God. And then the third point is about a reconciliation with God. Now, for me, when I hear reunions, when I hear relationships, when I hear reconciliations, I'm thinking family. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about a family relationship. But in this family relationship that I know for me that has helped me, I think, studying this particular song, is to understand the true meaning of love. Because sometimes what we can do, even now, and all that we're going through, we're seeing tons of good works happen. And I mean no harm to any of those good works. Those are good works. But for us as Christians, we have a greater power because we know the real root of it. We know love. Sometimes what we can do with love, we can turn love into like a god or goddess. But what we have to do is understand that it's not a feeling, that it's not just this obscure thing that just kind of comes out of you. It is God the Father, God the Son, Amen. God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have to see that love before we can go anywhere else with anybody else. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about his love that he had for us, because we were in pretty bad shape, you know? We sinners. And I think, at least for me, when I first hear the first kind of verse of it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, I know many times I'm quick to look at other people, other systems, other things, but you know, imagine this. Imagine going to your favorite restaurant, right? And the host is Jesus Christ. And he's the owner. Have you ever gone somewhere where if you've gone to a restaurant, right, and you get okay service, but imagine going to a restaurant and this person shakes their hand and say, hey, I'm the owner. And you're like, okay, that's good. And then they sit you at the table. And then they're like, okay, they're going to go away because they're the owner. They're too important to just spend time with you, right? But imagine an owner who says, oh, no, what would you like to eat right now? I know I would be taken by that. I'm like, hey, you're the owner of this establishment. Don't you got other busier things to do? No, I don't have anything busier to do but be with you. So please tell me, what would you like? Well, you know what? I need a help in the salvation. Good. You know, with that, can I have also some patience? Yes. Coming right up. But the beauty behind that is, he doesn't stop there. This is an unbelievable owner. In fact, I don't even think he's human. Because what he does is, he actually feeds me. Wow. What a host. What an owner. That's the owner that we see in this picture. We have to see that. We have to understand that. Because this is resurrection power at its finest. But you know what? The thing about this owner, you know what I'm telling you? Hey, I feel bad. You know, I feel bad from a human owner standpoint, saying, oh, he's a busy guy, maybe he's got something else to do. But with this particular owner, you know why I feel bad? It's because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. In the midst of a holy and righteous God who is willing to feed me, that should bring tears to our eyes. Willing to deal with a wretch like me. And in the midst of the chaos of life that we go through, and we do, we go through the issues of life, right? That's why this table has to be prepared in the presence of your enemies. You know, we would normally, if we were dealing with our enemies, we would deal with them a lot of different ways. I just want to quickly give you some. One might be, I might call the police on them, depending on how they get. I might give them some, let's just say, not so kind words, right? This is what I would do to my enemy. I would feel like I need to do what? Defend myself. But why does Jesus put a table before these crazy people? It's because, you know what? He did the exact same thing for me. And that is why. Let's go to some scripture. Let's look at some scripture. I think we need to just continue to be grounded in just knowing what's happening here in terms of this love. Because sometimes what can even happen, even in the midst of us talking of Christ, we forget the love of the Trinity. So I want to read the scriptures, maybe familiar with you, just to let you know the mutual love that they have in this relationship. And I'll be reading straight from Titus 1, and it reads Titus 1, verses 1 through 3, and it just says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. And check this part out. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's important that we know, even in the midst of us looking at this great host, is that we have to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because what basically happened in order for us to have this resurrection power that I'm speaking about is the Father had to send the Son. And when he sent the Son, he allowed him, right, to give us what? Eternal life. Now, when the Son came, what else happened? He accomplished the eternal work that needed to be done for us to have eternal life. And now what we're walking in, what we're living in, is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's applying that work in our lives. That's what's happening. That is why we can come into the house. Do you see that? Because of what they did, not what we have done. Their perfect work, their perfect love allowed us to be able to have this reunion with God. Now, with that great reunion, we have now a relationship with God. Now, I know for me, when I first heard you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I didn't first always think of Christ. But now, knowing what I know, how can I not take that same scripture and see the connection to it saying this? Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "What? Take, eat. This is my blood." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink all of it, for this is my blood of the new what? Covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." That is what David saw. We are privileged to be able to now, because of the work of the Trinity, the Godhead, we are now able to be partakers, to come into the house, and not just come into the house, because you can just get to the foyer of the house. You know, if you've been in houses where that's all you get to, you know, or you can't even get a drink of water or anything. No, we're in the dining room. The host is Christ, and it is a lavish meal because he saved us to do so. I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about that wonderful relationship that we now have in Christ. Because you know what? Sometimes what we can do with the Bible is not see how it really fits into the right now. And what I'm sharing with you right now is what David saw long ago, we are now fulfilled in right now. The problem that we have is we take it for granted. you know, in the midst of all of this going on, in the midst of a pandemic of illness, in the midst of inequalities of the world, how many of us have not only taken that to Christ, but took it to him in the form of a communion? I know sometimes what the church can do, we can look for all sorts of different things that we need to do to kind of keep up with the times, right? But God has a way of letting us know that I knew you were going to go through that. And that's what we have to remember. We have an ordinance that we need to keep. If we keep that ordinance as just dead man's bones, then we're doing it the wrong way. We have the privilege of any time that we're struggling through the issues of life is to take it before him in communion. And let's talk about that. Now, if we take it to him in communion, these are the benefits that he has given us to be able to understand this. The first thing that we have to understand in the communion is this, is that it's not for show or fashion, okay? We can put a lot of things on public display, and then when the mics drop, act like fools. And we cannot do that. We have the blessed assurance, the benefit of Christ to go to him in our closets and commune with him at any time to let him know through our prayers, through our petitions, that what we're going through. But with that benefit, we even have another greater benefit to come together corporately. You know, when we do communion many times, we are reacting to what we should already be ready to do. Because this is how much I love my God. He knows I'm a sinner that's saved by grace, that he's got to make a regularly scheduled appointment with me as a sinner. Communion is on the calendar, okay? It's on the calendar because we are sinners and we don't always go in our private closets and pray. Let's be honest. But because he loves us so much, it's on the schedule. And I'll be honest, I'm not always available. And I'm not talking. If you're looking at communion as, I didn't just repent over something, then you got the wrong view of communion with God. See, communion is understanding how much you need him in everything that you do. Everything. See, it's like this. He's simply, like he's saying to us. He said it this way. I love how he says it in John. Because once again, this is validation that he is that host. And he says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, here we are in the house again, right? Are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will do what? And will take you to it myself. This is why he's the host. You see the fulfillment of that? David had a taste of it. We get a chance to eat of it in our lives. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? You know, when we commune with God, we should do what I always, this is my brother beloved, he's probably Zooming right now, but every time I hear Elder Whitberg say it, he says it so well, I think we got to record this guy, he does like a James Earl Jones, let a man examine himself. It's just like, it's almost like I got a program in my mind, it's like, why do I hear Steve's voice when I'm reading this? But anyway, we must examine ourselves, but we must be willing to be available to do so. So let me give you an example of a surface examination. Let's just take something simple. How do we examine ourselves? Now, I could examine myself by, I'm good. Or I could get a more qualified opinion. I know of a good physician that's in this book that could help me do that examination a little more thoroughly. In fact, sometimes he gets to be a little busy, so he calls on his helper called the Holy Spirit to help me out a little bit. So let me give you this one. And it says, now the works of the flesh are what? Are evident. You know, sexual immorality, impurities, sensualities, adultery, sorcerers, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, right? I can go on, dissension of division. And I could read that, I'm not doing none of those. But if I really examine myself, have I done what God would really want me to do with that? Here's just another way. In the midst of me looking at my strife, who have I had conflict with at work? Have I really looked at my relationships against this? It's those things that we as Christians must be willing to explore to draw closer to God, because guess what? He already has the answer. And He is such a loving God that He allows us first to examine ourselves. But truth be told, if you don't do that examination, especially if you're married, you already got your brother or sister right next to you, right? They can then explore what you have not done. And then from that examination, don't ever think that you're just going to get away with sin. Someone in this church house is known as something. So what I'm saying is, it's back to those green pastures, that framework that He puts in place to keep us in check because He loves us. But we have to be willing to explore that. We have to be willing to say, okay, in the midst of me looking at all of these things that I need to stop doing, Holy Spirit, help me to see your fruits. Help me, Holy Spirit, to love. Help me, Holy Spirit, to have joy. Help me to have peace, kindness, patience, gentleness. It's all right here. He's already laid it out for us. Are we willing to do it? And I know what the answer is, my beloved. Sometimes. Sometimes I am. But rest assured in this, even in your sometimes, He's all times. So I just submit to you as a body, in our relationships, let us be willing to look at what we have already in place to come to our God, to commune, to deal with our issues of life, because He's just waiting, regularly scheduled time and waiting for us. And my last point that I wanted to make, and this one is about reconciliation. You know, the first point about the reunion is His divine action. It's just the work of the Godhead. Bam, I'm doing this because I love Eric. I love him. I'm just going to do it. The other actions, you know what? I'm going to do it for Eric, but Eric needs to recognize that he needs to mature. So, Eric, you need to take some responsibility in, not in saving you, but responsibility enough to grow in me. But this last one, this one is just a response to His love. And it reads this way. This is the very end of the song. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's recognizing why I am here. It is really just praise. It is just, now I know what I was made to do. I wasn't made to work at that job. That's not what I was just made for. I wasn't just made for, as much as I love my family, I wasn't just made to do what they want me to do. I wasn't just made for that. I was made for His glory. And now, remember, kind of going back to what we saw, the positions. I love this song. We first see Him as the shepherd. And you know what? He's restoring us, right? He's protecting us. He's bringing us into the house. But when we get to the house, He becomes the host. Because in that role, he's refining us while we're kind of just in the dining room of life, right? But this is the best part of all. We're now family in the house, and we're family. We're family. He's big brother, and I understand that. See, He's been at the whole time, but now when I read this, I have eyes to really see it. It's that part where it says, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is my response to him. This is my response to him in building this framework that he did with his own hands. This framework of good living. You know, it's knowing the difference between a lean piece of meat and good vegetables and a candy bar. I now know what a junk food diet is. Thank you, Lord. Because you've shown me what a good and rich diet is. But he doesn't stop there. He gives me the comforts of life. He allows me to go through the valley of the shadows of death. You know what that does? That helps me to see when I see people with the COVID. I understand that Christians can go through that too. But we have him. That is the difference. He is with us. So then when I see inequalities of life, I don't just look at another brother that looks like me and say, you're just going to hell because you're racist. I see a brother that needs Christ. And I also could be just looking at my brother who needs help. That's what he helps me to see in his comfort of me. But then when we get inside that house, this foolishness that we go through of life sometimes, we now understand why. We understand that he first fed me. That's what he did when he was the shepherd. Then he got me and put me in the house. But this is the part now. Now that I'm family and I'm blessed, he kept me. He kept me in. And I just rejoice in that. My prayer for all of us is that we just know how much that he loves us and be lavish in what he has done, not in just our abilities. I know right now, churches across the country, we're almost like in huddles, just saying, oh man, we should do more of. Glory be to God on that. But let's understand what he has done. Framework has already been established. We just got to walk in, be obedient to it. So that the world may see our light. We have to trust in his goodness, not in ours. You know, I can get comfortable. I can be out there acting like a fool. It's in me. It's Prego. It's in me. But because of Christ, I have a different diet. And I love that diet. That diet restores me. That diet makes me a better person in him. All unto God is why we do these things. Not of ourselves, not for pats on the back, but unto his glory. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you. Thank you for the richness, depths of your word, and how it's there. Lord, I just pray that we just continue to grow in your love. We see your face a little more clear. We see the goodness of what the Father has already done by sending the Son and lavishing it. And Lord, we see the obedience, the perfect submission of Christ. And Lord, that we apply the work of the Holy Spirit even now in our time, Lord, that we live in. Help us, Lord, to be willing vessels, to be obedient to your ordinances that you've established. Help us to grow in them and to just share with a dying world that you've already laid it out. We don't have to wonder. The plan is already in place. The actions are already done. We just got to walk in it. But we thank you for this. In your marvelous Son's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.